Good afternoon. It's 5:06 and 39 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm your host, Keneally Roberts.
And I'm Daria Denisenko.
A woman is more than twice as likely to die from pregnancy-related causes now.
Some Kentucky lawmakers hope to address the state's maternal mortality rate.
Future teacher hires may have a new pension tier.
A bill concerning police reform is headed to the full Senate.
Cases of the flu are down this season in the Commonwealth.
A Louisville-based business incubator is helping Black and Latinx-owned businesses.
Keeneland is preparing for spring meets.
In sports, Moorhead State basketball, rifle, cross-country, and volleyball are in action this weekend.
Bud Luke has the stock report. A 20% chance of flurries tonight. Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies with a low around 28 degrees. We'll have an extended weather forecast after this news.
A group of lawmakers want the Kentucky legislature to address the state's maternal mortality problem. The House Democratic Women's Caucus launched their legislative plan to help make pregnancy, birth, and the postpartum experience safer in Kentucky. Representative Lisa Wilner tells LEX 18, pregnant people in the United States are more likely to die from childbirth or pregnancy-related causes than women in all other high-income countries.
A woman is more than twice as likely to die from pregnancy-related causes now than in 1987. It gets worse. Here in Kentucky, the maternal mortality rate is more than double the national average.
The group says this is a racial justice issue as well. The death rate for Black pregnant women is 3 to 4 times higher than it is for white women.
House Bill 1 was passed earlier this week when the legislature voted to override Governor Andy Beshear's veto. The measure allows businesses to stay open during the pandemic as long as they follow CDC or state guidelines, whatever is least restrictive. Andrew Cooperrider is the owner of Brood in Lexington. He tells LAX 18 Kentuckians voted in Republican supermajorities to the state legislature, and many candidates ran on checking the governor's executive powers.
What the judge ruled was that owners were too stupid to be able to figure out these regulations themselves. This is what the people of Kentucky want.
Governor Andy Beshear has said House Bill 1 will make Kentuckians less safe and that it will be difficult for businesses to know what CDC guidelines they need to follow.
Future teacher hires who start after January 1, 2022 would be placed into a new pension tier under a bill making its way through the General Assembly. WUKY's Josh James has more.
House Bill 258 cruised to passage in both committee and the Kentucky House Thursday, reigniting a long-running debate that's led to large-scale protests in Frankfort in recent years. The measure creates a new hybrid plan within the Kentucky teachers' retirement system, combining elements of defined benefit and defined contribution plans. While the proposal calls for new teachers to contribute more toward retirement, it hasn't yet prompted the kind of backlash seen during previous attempts at reform. Supporters argue the bill stops the bleeding in an underfunded system, but opponents worry the measure will hurt teacher recruitment efforts in the state. Sponsor Representative Ed Massey says actuarial estimates show the plan would save the state $3.5 billion over the next 3 decades. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
A measure to reform policing by strengthening the decertification process advanced out of a Kentucky Senate committee this week and will advance to the full Senate. WMKY's Carrie Stambau reports.
Senate Bill 80 would expand the number of acts considered to be professional wrongdoing, including unjustified use of excessive or deadly force, interference of the fair administration of justice, and engagement in a sexual relationship with a victim, witness, defendant, or informant in a criminal investigation. The bill would also require an officer to intervene when another officer is engaging in unlawful and unjustified excessive or deadly force. The bill also sets up a system for an officer's automatic decertification under certain circumstances, including being convicted of a felony in federal or state courts, as well as certain misdemeanors and the concealment of such a conviction during the police officer's certification process. The bill also prevents an officer from skirting decertification by resigning or retiring before the completion of an internal investigation. For WMKY News, I'm Carrie Stambo.
Kentucky's vaccine target group right now is on people 70 years of age and older. The same group is facing several challenges in their journey to get the vaccine. The Lexington-Fayette County Health Department is focusing part of their staff and resources on a phone bank to answer calls from Lexington seniors and guide them through setting up an appointment. Director Christy Stambo tells WKYT she has staff working to help the seniors with questions they have regarding appointments.
So I have three of my staff here working on calling people to schedule them for available appointments. And then we have about nine people outside of my division, but within the city government, also calling people.
The Senior Center is helping transportation to and from vaccine appointments for any seniors who need it.
The Centers of Disease Control and Prevention, as well as Louisville hospitals, say flu cases are down this season. Health experts say it's because more people are taking precautions with COVID-19, such as face masks, hand washing, less traveling, online classes, and social distancing. Paul Schultz, MD, infectious disease specialist and system epidemiologist at Norton Healthcare, said while it is more common to test for COVID, more flu cases could be out there. Many are just unsure on how to distinguish the symptoms.
Some of the testing that we have in place now would identify either, you know, so the tests that may identify COVID or flu, but that certainly could be an issue as well, is are we looking for it? Because if you're not looking for it, obviously you're not going to find it.
Symptoms for the flu and COVID are similar. To help differentiate between these sicknesses, a main warning sign of COVID is loss of taste and smell. Many are encouraged to get tested for the flu if a negative COVID test presents itself.
COVID long haulers are facing a new battle with persistent migraines. WMKY's Ben Hall has the story.
Neurologist Dr. Brian Plato says typical patients suffer with migraines for 4 to 72 hours, while post-COVID patients are having migraines that last for days, weeks, and even months at a time. Many people already susceptible to migraines who have gotten COVID have since had flare-ups and are having them on a regular basis. Plato tells WKYT traditional medication may not work for long-term migraine sufferers. With new mutations in the virus, studying migraines will become even more important than before. That's because migraines are a key component in detecting COVID-19 in its earliest stages, even if other symptoms of the virus are not present. For WMKY News, I'm Ben Hall.
A Louisville entrepreneur is launching an incubator for Black and Latinx-owned businesses. The Russell Tech Business Incubator will provide the businesses with support, university education, and funding. Entrepreneur Dave Christopher Sr. believes the program will help to combat past government and societal hindrances to Black success, which still exists today. Business owner Juan Tobar is helping build the incubator space while accomplishing his own goals. He tells Wave 3 News he's never applied for a loan to expand his drywall business because he expected to be rejected.
It's pretty cool that any Hispanic can come up here, you know, any Black person can come up here and ask for help and not be turned away, you know, not be scared to get turned down.
30 local business owners will start the hiring process when the incubator opens on February 16.
Keeneland is preparing for its first spring meet in a year, but it's unclear if spectators will be able to attend the event. Last spring, the races were canceled because of the pandemic, and no fans were allowed during the impromptu summer meet or in the fall. Many businesses who depend on Keeneland's traffic took a major loss. Gwen Everly is the co-owner of Jay Render's, a Lexington restaurant. She tells WKYT the business usually hosts fans after the races.
The patio is hopping. We have such support from our neighbors, and it's almost like going into Cheers where everybody knows your name. So it's a very much a family atmosphere, and we just enjoy each other. And it's been so sad this year because we haven't been able to do that as much.
Keeneland's spring meet will start April 2nd and run through the 23rd.
Kentucky State Police are reopening a program to help fight the drug epidemic in the state. WMKY's Lakin Hub has the story.
The KSP Angel Initiative is a volunteer program that helps people with addiction. It was paused in April while they developed safety protocols to respond to the pandemic. KSP and the Office of Drug Control Policy are under the Justice and Public Safety's Cabinet Authority and join forces to provide access to drug treatment. Drug addiction took the lives of 1,316 Kentuckians, according to ODCP's 2019 annual report. Since the program launched, it has facilitated the placement of 198 individuals in treatment programs. For more information, visit KentuckyStatePolice.org. For WMKY, I'm Lakin Hupp.
A Kentucky man has been arrested and is accused of spraying U.S. Capitol Police with mace during the January 6th insurrection. The Lexington Herald Leader reports the FBI arrested Peter Schwartz in Uniontown, Pennsylvania this week. Schwartz, who is a convicted felon, was supposed to be in an Owensboro Rehabilitation Center the day of the deadly riots at the U.S. Capitol. Instead, Schwartz was captured in a video spraying police officers with mace. A friend identified Schwartz in the video and contacted FBI officials. He also identified Schwartz in a lineup of suspects shown to him by FBI officials. Schwartz also wrote about the riot on Facebook, saying, quote, "I was there." Schwartz faces five federal charges, including forcibly assaulting, resisting, or impeding certain officers or employees, knowingly entering or remaining inside any restricted buildings without lawful authority, obstruction of law enforcement during civil disorder, and violent entry and disorderly conduct on Capitol grounds. During a detention hearing Wednesday, federal prosecutors told the judge they believe Schwartz is a flight risk and a danger to others.
Taking a look at the weather for the WMKY listening area. On Saturday, it's mostly cloudy with a high near 41. On Saturday night, it's mostly cloudy with a low around 26. On Sunday, it's sunny with a high near 33. On Saturday night, it's partly cloudy with a low around 18 degrees. And on Monday, it's partly cloudy with a high near 42. On Monday night, it's mostly cloudy with a low around 29 degrees. On Tuesday, it's cloudy with a high near 38.
On our feature segment today, commentator John Modaff explores the idea of school choice.
Ah, isn't it nice to have a new president who is filled with love for the American people and in particular our children's well-being? So many actions have already been taken, too numerous to detail here, that appear to have the welfare of our progeny in mind and at heart. Cages built for kids at the border a couple of administrations ago are at last being dismantled. Executive actions one atop the other look to a better future where children can thrive in a free, clean environment, filled with jobs rather than pollution. Have there ever been more reasons to be optimistic about the future of children in this nation? Probably not. So what mystifies many observers is the holdout on one of the most obvious benefits to children that could be imagined, among all of the great ideas forming now and that have formed over the last few decades, school choice. If somehow you've never heard of school choice, it is the policy principle that any parent should be able to use the tax support designated to their child for education at any school they choose, public or private, sometimes called a voucher program. It is now operating nicely in 18 states. They are Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Indiana, Louisiana, Maine, Maryland, Mississippi, New Hampshire, North Carolina, Ohio, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Utah, Vermont, Wisconsin, and Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico, not Illinois, not New York, not California, three states with the biggest school districts in the nation. Choice itself is such a beautiful word. Reproduction? Choice. Gender? Choice. Marriage? Choice. To work or not to work? Choice. To cross the border in the name of freedom? Choice. To read or not to read, to say or not to say, even to live or not to live? Choice, 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 as it should be. So why does the river of choice dry up into Caliche when the question of school choice comes up? Did your heart or some other organ clench up a bit at the mention of this treasured school choice? If so, maybe you are employed in the public school system and fear what might happen if true school choice were implemented in your state or in our nation. Why would a teacher or administrator fear the implementation of real school choice equally and equitably available to all children in the United States? Why would a certain political party, certain employee unions, certain counties and states so vehemently object to the provision of granting tax-based vouchers to parents to give them the right to choose the best school for their children? I am a cynic in half my being, but I cannot believe that persons of any union or party would put their own well-being ahead of what is best for children of all races and means. Say it isn't so. I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a retired Morehead State University professor and author.
Support for MSPR comes from Main Street Medical Associates, 214 East Main Street in Morehead. Main Street Medical Associates is now open to the Morehead community, providing primary care and addiction services with counseling by board-certified and licensed providers. Same-day and next-day appointments for primary care, medical evaluations, occupational exams, physicals, and addiction services. In-office or telemedicine available by appointment by calling 606-784-8682. That's 784-8682. Main Street Medical Associates on Facebook and online at mainstreetmedical.live.
It's 39 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Keneally Roberts, here with Daria Denisenko and Jonathan Burton. We're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Leanne Akers has a look at sports, but first I just want to say we're so glad that you're spending time with us on this gloomy Thursday evening.
Several Eagle teams are in action this weekend. For WMKY Sports, I'm Leanne Akers. The Morehead State men's and women's cross-country teams traveled to Murray State for competition this afternoon. This is the Eagles' second meet of the season after taking second place in last week's match against Eastern Kentucky. Head coach Clay Dixon says both teams have a good chance of competing in the Murray State Open.
This week we're going to Murray State for the Murray State Racer Open, and there should be a couple conference teams there and a couple of out-of-conference teams, and I think we got a pretty good chance of showing very well there.
The meet is currently ongoing. Results will be available at msueagles.com. The Morehead State Rifle Team plays host to the Ohio Valley Conference tomorrow and Sunday. The team is going into the competition with a third-place ranking in the OVC and a 4-2 record overall. Head coach Alan Joseph says his team had to adjust to CDC guidelines, including wearing a mask during competition.
On the cheek side that's on the stock of the gun, having a mask changes the whole experience. But we decided as coaches, we'd rather do it with masks than not do it at all. And that was really our other option. As OVC coaches on a conference call, they said, okay, if you agree to wear masks, you're green-lighted to start.
The OVC championship begins Saturday at 8 a.m. Results will be listed on the Morehead State University sports website. The MSU basketball team is gearing up for tomorrow's matchup with Austin Peay. The Eagle men are coming off a 66-56 win over Murray last night, moving to 14-6 on the season. Head coach Preston Spradlin says the Governors have some really good key returning players going into the matchup.
Top-end talent of the league with Terry Taylor, the reigning OVC player of the year. And, you know, Terry's he's a load to deal with on both ends of the floor. And so we do something similar to them offensively.
Tip-off tomorrow is set for 4 p.m. Limited tickets are available at msueagles.com. The Morehead State women's basketball team is unexpectedly off this weekend after the game with Austin Peay scheduled for tomorrow had to be postponed. The game delay means the Eagles have a full week to prepare for their next matchup with Tennessee State. Head coach Greg Todd says his team is used to being flexible.
We've had just a little bit of a setback. Been real pleased with the way our young ladies have handled this whole pandemic, and for the most part, made the best out of a very tough year for a lot of people, and been able to get a lot of games, a lot of practices in.
The Eagle women will travel to Tennessee in the middle of next week for matchups with the Tigers on Thursday and the Belmont Bruins on Saturday. Games can be live streamed via MSUEagles.com. And finally in sports this afternoon, Morehead State's volleyball team is on the road this weekend. In their unconventional season opener, they'll face off with Eastern Illinois on Sunday and Monday. Kirsten Becker is the associate head volleyball coach at MSU. She says the pandemic protocol for student athletes has been beneficial.
We have great team chemistry to start with, and so spending more time together is actually a great thing for us. It's something that they enjoy, so it's been great on the court.
Game time is set for 4 p.m. Sunday afternoon. We'll have scores from that matchup and all the other sports over the weekend on Monday morning during Morning Edition. And that's going to do it for sports for WMKY. I'm Leanne Akers.
Bud Luke has a look at the stock report right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Ruta Baker's Bakery and Cafe, across from St. Clair Healthcare on Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Ruta Baker's has made from scratch cakes, scones, cookies, and cinnamon rolls. Lunch items feature signature sandwiches, braids, and salads. Ruta Baker's Bakery and Cafe. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Curbside delivery at 780-4282, Facebook and online at rutabakers.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for WMKY. It was rather a quiet day on Wall Street as the government monthly report on jobs came in slightly below estimates, and the Dow Industrials did finish the week with a gain of 92.38 at 31,148.24. The S&P 500 was up 15.09 at 3886.83, and that was a record close for the S&P 500. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 78.55 at 13,856.30, and that was a record close for the NASDAQ as well. And as mentioned, the Labor Department reporting that 49,000 jobs were added to the U.S. economy in the month of January, just slightly below estimates of 50,000 going into the report. The December jobs were revised much lower, showing a loss now of 227,000 versus the initial reading of a loss of 140,000 jobs. In earnings news today, Activision Blizzard reported better than expected earnings, and the stock popped up almost 10%. Peloton reported actually better than expected earnings, but the stock was down 6%. And Snap was up 9% after Snap did report better than expected fourth quarter earnings. In the commodities markets, gold finished with a gain of 1%, and crude oil was up almost 1%. And, of course, crude oil now at its highest level in about a year. Trading now to stocks of local interest, CSX was up 13 cents, finishing at $88.55. Marathon Petroleum up 30 cents at $47.63. Anthem was down 3.28 at $291.08. Fifth Third Bank was up a penny at $32.10. Lowe's was up $2 at $175.03. And App Harvest was up $4.67, finishing at $33.75. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
And that's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today, we had help from Leanne Akers, Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Carrie Stambo, Lakin Hupp, Jonathan Burton, Rachel Turner, Shamari Mosley, and Ben Hall, WUKY's Josh James, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from commentator Dr. John Modaff. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY, Morehead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at wmky.org. For Daria Denisenko and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Keneally Roberts for WMKY News. All things considered, it's coming up next. It's 5:30.